Good to see each of you this morning. For those of you who are visiting with us, we're especially glad to have you. We have a number of visitors this morning, and we would hope that you would feel blessed for having come and worshiped God with us today, and that you will draw something from our study in the scripture this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus as the bread of life. I want to turn to John chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, I have a little more lengthy reading this morning than I normally do. And it might be good for you to follow along with me if you wish to turn over there in your Bibles. John chapter 6, we're going to begin the reading at verse 25. John chapter 6, verse 25. We're going to read down through verse 58. Jesus answered them, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. This discourse of Jesus is very important to us because it touches upon a question that is central and basic to our very existence. And the question is this: what is the most important thing in life? And Jesus confronts and challenges a multitude of people who think that they know the answer to that question. The answer, they think, is to acquire and possess things, to get what you can get, to satisfy your desires, to satisfy your physical hunger. And so at verse 26, Jesus says to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were fulfilled." Jesus says your interest is only in physical things. You're only interested in the things of this world. All you really care about is a full belly. You follow not because I taught you, but because I fed you. Your interest in me is sensual. It's mundane. You do not understand my mission, what I'm doing, why I'm here. And when he says there at verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life," Jesus is not giving an absolute prohibition. Rather, he is giving a lesson in priorities. Here were people who were majoring in minors and minoring in majors. And so are men today. So in this great discourse, Jesus revealed his mission on this earth. He came to cause people to understand what is the most important thing in this life. And Jesus emphasized here the very first point that I want to observe with you in our lesson this morning, and that is this: men are seeking the wrong kind of bread. They're seeking the wrong kind of bread. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, which our brother read for us this morning. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, and the devil tempted him to command that these stones become bread, in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4, verse 4 says, "He answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." People today do not look much further than in the end of their own nose. They're self-centered, living for the moment, primarily interested in only satisfying their physical desires. Most men are hedonistic, materialistic. Most people today simply do not care about anything more than the gratification of the physical body. And Jesus said, folks, that is not the way to live your life. And the funny thing is that while most men today pursue material goals, this is really not what most men are looking for. It's not what they're seeking. What most people want is inner satisfaction. That's what they're looking for. And that's what they think the attainment of these goals will provide. And so people today are searching. The shelves of public libraries and commercial bookstores are literally filled with books in which practically every aspect of our society has been dissected and studied and investigated by psychiatrists and psychologists and nutritionists and economists. And many of these so-called experts will frankly tell you that the bottom line of what most people want is not creature comforts or physical possession, but most people, young and old alike, are searching for meaning in their lives. Meaning in their lives. They want a conviction about life that they can hold on to. They want purposeful things in life, some direction on how to achieve something that is meaningful. And Jesus Christ knew that. The prophet of God knew that back in the Old Testament. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 5, and chapter 55, I should say. And in the first two verses, the prophet of God said this, Isaiah 55, verse 1 and verse 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. What's most important is the Word of God and what God has revealed and what Christ has revealed. And Jesus knew that. He knew it when he said over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And he knew it again when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, here in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm convinced that he never knew it more surely and more positively than on the occasion of our text in John chapter 6, when he said to these seeking yet stumbling multitude of people, don't seek for the bread that perishes, but for the bread that abides to eternal life. And so I must ask the question this morning, what kind of bread am I seeking? What kind of bread am I seeking? And I must understand and verily believe that the things of this world are bread that perishes. The wealth of this world and its honor and pleasure do nothing more than feed the fancy and bulge the belly. And you know what? None of it lasts. Except maybe for the bulge of the belly. So let me ask you the question this morning. Have you ever been to a potluck dinner? What do? Well, you get the biggest plate that you can find. One of the elders where I used to preach, I accused him of using a trash can lid. You get the biggest plate that you can find, and you fill that thing with fried chicken and baked ham and enchiladas and spaghetti and baked beans and potato salad and homemade rolls and jalapeno cornbread and apple pie and chocolate cake and homemade ice cream. Sorry to do all that to you right before lunch. But then what do? It's like a chorus. I'll never eat again. And you go home and you have a ham sandwich for supper. So what happened? Well, it didn't last. It didn't completely satisfy. It didn't satisfy forever, did it? With all that you got, and you probably got some of it all, it didn't satisfy. Can't we see that? Have you ever bought a new car? Doesn't it smell good? Isn't it quiet? Doesn't it run smoothly? And you know, you wash it every other day. And every night before you go to bed, you go out and flip the light on the garage and look at it. Boy, that's nice. And 6 months later, you're writing out the checks to pay your bills one night, and you write out one for your car payment of $423 a month. And you say, well, sweetheart, we've only got 54 payments left. You know, the primary thing wrong with the new cars today is they don't outlive the payments. Now, what are we trying to say? Simply this. The things of this world don't last. And Jesus Christ offers something that does. Now, these people in John chapter 6 that we've read about recognize that, I think, to some degree. Verse 31 says, they said, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the true bread, the bread of God, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And notice what they said to that, verse 34. Lord, give us this bread always. Oh, we want some of that. And then in verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And you have the same kind of lesson if you go back just a couple of chapters in John chapter 4 when Jesus had that conversation with the woman at the well in Samaria. You have something very similar to that. Verse 10 of John 4, says that Jesus said to this woman when he asked her to give him a drink, to give me a drink. And he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And what was her response? The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And so we simply must not forget that it is absolute folly for us to inordinately labor after the things of this world. And the problem sometimes is that we get our priorities out of order. And we think we know what satisfies. Human wisdom can easily get the best of us. We don't always know what we think we know. I love the story about the husband and his wife who decided that they needed a watchdog. And so the husband went to the pet store and he told the clerk, I want to buy a watchdog. And the clerk said, I believe I have just the dog for you. And he took him around and showed him a toy poodle. And the man said, are you kidding? He said, my wife and I want a real watchdog to protect us at night. And the clerk said, well, this is just the animal you need. You see, this poodle knows karate. Well, the fellow was kind of skeptical about that, as I think I would have been. And so the clerk said, I'll show you. And he took a big thick plank and said to the poodle, karate that plank. Wham! The little dog crashed his paw down on the plank and shattered it. And the clerk said, let me demonstrate that further. And took a very large brick. And he said, karate that brick. And wham! The brick broke in half. The fellow said, I believe I'll take that dog. When he got home with the dog, his wife was just incredulous. She said, I cannot believe it. I sent you to buy a watchdog and you come home with this? And he said, honey, I know it seems strange, but you don't understand. This dog knows karate. And she said, karate my foot. Now, folks, we don't always understand what we think we understand, do we? If we decide to pursue the bread of this world, you can be assured that we're going to receive disastrous end results. We sing a song sometimes that says, Jesus is all the world to me. If Jesus is all the world to me, then I'm going to reject the bread of this world that will not satisfy. And I'm going to confess that the only way I can be truly satisfied is by seeking true bread. Now, what will cause me to do that? Only one thing. I must recognize the value of this bread. And so back in our text, in verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You see, we must recognize Jesus Christ for exactly who he is and what it means to have him. And there in verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. And then verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. They didn't understand the true value of the bread of life that was in their presence. And so notice down at verse 48. Jesus said again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. the true bread, Jesus Christ. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. One of the reasons that we sometimes do not recognize the importance of this true bread is that we get our value system confused. And we begin to envy the world and the things of the world. That was the problem that the psalmist described back in Psalm 73. If you want to turn over there for just a minute. In Psalm 73, the psalmist began to envy the things of the world. In verse 2 of Psalm 73, he says, "For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And at verse 7, he says of them, "Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than their heart could wish." And down at verse 11, he talks about the things that, verse 10, his people return here. Waters of a full cup are drained by them. And then at verse 12, he says, "These are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches." The psalmist got to looking around and he saw the people that were doing well that were not following God. And he envied some of the things that they had. But his answer is given down in verse 16. He said, "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God and I understood their end." You see, the things of this world are not the end. The things of this world will not last. The things of this world will not endure. I remember when I was a teenager, my parents had taken me to, and my sister to, a group of Christian young people were meeting together. We were just playing some table games together. It was in a public facility. And there was another section of that facility, and there were other teenagers there who were dancing. And before long, some of them stuck their head in the door and saw what we were doing. It looked like we were having a good time. And before long, some of them came in and said, could we play that too? "Sure, we'll sit back and let you play the game." We almost broke up that dance, folks. We were having such a good time doing something that was completely wholesome. And it was kind of an interesting thing. We've got to understand that the things of the world, the things that the world practices and does, are not important at all. The accomplishments of this world are absolutely nil. There's nothing more important than Jesus Christ, because there is nothing more enduring than Jesus Christ. I read many years ago that John Lennon, one of the Beatles, when he died, was receiving every day $200,000 royalties from the songs that he had written every day of the year. How much value is that of him to him now? Listen to the scriptures in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. It says that the things of this world are not important, and we need not to put our trust in them. And it says this, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." So I have the choice. I have the choice of partaking of the true bread or deciding just to partake of the bread that perishes. And so let me close this morning by pointing out to you the reception that was given by Jesus, by the people, to Jesus' bread of life speech here in our passage. I read through verse 58, read on at verse 59. "These things he said in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." However, that was not it. Peter knew the value. And verse 67 says, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ and the Son of the living God.'" I want to tell you something, folks. If we know that, we know all that we need to know in this life. And if we do not know that, let us learn it before it is eternally too late. My friend, if you have not perceived Jesus Christ as the true bread that's come down from heaven, if you have not tasted of the Lord that he is gracious, you are as Ephraim of old, feeding on wind. Your soul is starving to death. And you need desperately not the manna of this world, but the true bread that comes down out of heaven. And our question is this morning, won't you come and partake of this true bread and obey Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ? While together we stand and sing this song.
I have decided to watch.